So wait, wow. I'm totally striking out on the F's here. So I thought that fantasy football was fan fiction, and I thought fantasy fashion was something totally different. Totally different.
What you do in your bedroom is
I know. Not I'm like, well, that's interesting, Mylan.
Oh.
Ew.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, episode number 118 today, and it's not a normal fucking episode, because we have special, very special, super special guest, Mylan fucking Barrows.
Yeah!
And guys, it's Mylan, not Mylan.
Right.
What did I just do?
Mylan. You said Mylan.
Mylan,
yeah, you did it right.
Mylan.
She just wants to make sure that all of our listeners know how to say it too when you meet me next week at PAX.
Now I'm going to say Mylan forever.
Mylan.
Mylan.
Mylan. Hello.
Oh, MFB. So let's just go with MFB. I like that.
MFB. Yeah.
MFB.
Let's do the rundown.
So what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to probably talk to Mylan a little bit and, I just did it now. We're going to talk to Mylan a little bit and, we're going to talk about what we've been up to, and PAX is right around the corner, and apparently the internet exploded because there's a new Batman, and, I think we'll talk about that too. Hillary, what is The White Queen? Is it a book?
No, The White Queen is a new TV series on Starz.
Okay.
So
it's I saw that. Yeah.
So we will talk about that. And Ash really played good. Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna talk to you about what you're excited for PAX next week. Sound good?
It's
sounds good to me,
it's
Scott.
A PAX filled episode.
PAX.
It's PAXed with goodness.
it always is the week before, right?
It is. PAX
Sorry,
with
I
goodness.
Over your pun. Let me laugh at your pun first. Pretty good the week before, right?
Yeah.
So, Ash, why don't you start us off?
Well, I've been working a lot, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah?
I'm stealing Hillary's line this week.
Thank
yeah,
everyone
I've been working
is.
A whole lot. Work's been kind of crazy. I've been arriving at work at like 6, which means I've been getting up at like 4:45, which is shitty because then I fall asleep at like 9 o'clock at night. So this week was a bit of a blur, but I did manage to pick up Saints Row 4. I picked up the Wub Wub edition, the dangerous Wub Wub edition, and
you
it's kind of funny.
What was it, the $1 million edition that you could get like a free ride to the president's house or something?
Came
I forget
with a
what
car,
it was.
Right?
Yeah, it was a million. There's $1 million edition of the game that legitimately cost $1 million, and you got like spy training from like MI6, and you got to go up into space. And this is the all legitimate things that you could get for purchase.
Oh yeah, you got a SpaceX ride, didn't you?
Ride and hostage rescue training. All sorts of crazy stuff. So amazing. I did not opt for that version, for I am poor. But but what I did do very quickly, I thought I had pre-ordered this game at GameStop, and so I called them the day before because I hadn't gotten. Normally they email me or text me when like they're like your game's ready. Well, I didn't get anything from them, so I was like, what the hell? So I called them, and they're like, no, you don't. It's not pre-ordered. I don't know what happened. And I was like, well, shit. I'm like, can I still pre-order it for tomorrow? And they're like, well, maybe if you come in and, put $5 down, then, we'll have it here for you tomorrow. And I'm like, I wanted the fucking Wub Wub edition, man. And they're like, no, you can't have it. So I went on Amazon. I spent an extra $2.99.
Yeah.
Which was still less. It was still less than getting at GameStop. And the fucking thing showed up by the time I got home from work. Yeah. So I was just like, whatever. Dropping a deuce on GameStop, but
for sure.
Stay classy, Ash.
Yeah. For all you GameStop fans out there,
there goes that sponsor.
So
that was an Ash comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to say the views of Ash are not necessarily held by the rest of the people on the podcast.
I speak for everyone on this podcast.
I believe he does speak for Scott and I on that point. So.
This edition, it came with a bunch of stuff. It came with some in-game stuff. It came with a giant red button that you can press that launches an atomic bomb. It came with a statue.
Like, whoa. Like the Staples button? That was easy.
No, it literally.
Nobody gets such a
product placement.
No, I got it.
I laughed. He was just talking over it.
Button, and if you press it, it says all sorts of funny things. Came with a statue, and the thing that I have been torturing my dogs with is it came with a dubstep gun.
Nice.
To show you guys right now, it has a laser and some blinking lights. I'm going to dim the lights here for our people that are watching.
Nice. Hold it up to the mic.
Oh, I must have this.
I love it.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's great.
All right, so that's enough of that. So I chased my animals around the house with that for quite some time, and that was definitely worth the purchase of.
Do they dance and jitter when you shoot them with it?
They bark. Tried to attack the.
So I guess it works.
It works. Yeah. Yeah. It made them jump around, and I shot my wife with it, and she kind of shimmied a little bit too. So it's function. You guys will have to come over, and I'll test it out on you. We'll see if it works.
Great.
But let's jump to Matt because Matt always
gets skipped.
You never pick me.
All right, we'll do Matt.
Let's all do me. I too have been working this week. What? I meant listen to me talk about what I'm doing this week.
On the front end?
Oh,
here
like
we go.
A 2-year-old with that joke. I've been working on the front end of Showtime Anytime a bunch. No, I have kind of, but not really. And I've been getting ready for PAX, a bunch of stuff for Nerd Appropriate that I've been working on that you guys will be seeing, I guess, somewhat.
Cool.
Stuff for the party and stuff for other things that are all great and things and stuff. And then the thing that I've been doing that's a little different, I actually haven't been playing any games, weirdly, but I have been playing a lot of music. So
sweet.
I bought this new controller for this program called Ableton Live, and like the interstitial stuff that you guys hear is some of the stuff is stuff that I've done, and I've been doing a lot of music. It's been awesome. Love it. I love making music. And then I wrote FF because I know no one but Scott will know what it is, but I've been dealing with the worst fantasy football league I've ever had to deal with in my entire life, and it's obnoxious. I just want to say that out loud right now because I can't say it to anybody else because it's like my brother's friend and I'd piss off people, but good Lord.
I think
this guy wouldn't sign up.
I do think fantasy football is nerd appropriate because it's got numbers and strategy.
Yeah, it's
man,
crazy.
This whole time I thought the FF was fan fiction and I was getting really excited.
Nope. Fantasy football.
Look, so we have a 12-team league.
Yes.
Is how you actually say that. And it's a keeper league, which means you get to keep two players from the year before, right? All right. It's much like D&D. If you just think of fantasy football as D&D, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can't have a keeper league unless everybody keeps signing up each year. And this one friggin' team like would not sign up. The process of signing up is literally you get an email and then you click yes, and then that is you're signed up. There is nothing else you have to do.
It's so much fun. Why would you not click the link? Just click the link.
Oh my god, it was like painful. I'd text Scott every day. I'd be like, "Why isn't this guy signing up yet? He's killing me." I'm like texting my brother like as nicely as I can in the morning, like, "Hey, why isn't your neighbor signed up yet? If you could just get him to sign up." And my brother would be like, "Oh yeah, I'll talk to him." And then a week would go by and there'd be nothing. And I'm like, "What is this guy doing?" It was
I think you should just go to his house.
I should
up with a laptop and be like, "Click here, motherfucker."
Could have be the most intimidating commissioner in the world.
So listen, for the 10 to 15 of you that haven't skipped over the fantasy football talk, if you guys are interested in fantasy football, I know we talked about this last year. I would kind of like to start a league for like nerd appropriate listeners, just like a fun league, like a nerdy fun league. So if fantasy football is relevant to your interests, let's see, what should we do? Maybe leave a comment on this post and let me know. And I think if we get enough interest, we'll try to start a league this year if it's soon enough or maybe next year. I just want to know because I think it'd be fun. Just super casual, like no buy-in or anything like that. We'll just we'll play for fun. So if that's interesting to you, let us know. Sorry.
Catherine, Mylan, Nash, try this. Football?
What?
I said, Mylan, do you and Sean watch football?
Sean does. I don't. But I will say that I was the winner of a fantasy fashion league one time.
Whoa.
Hey, fantasy
it's
fashion.
All the same, man.
Yep. It is just the same. Sean gave me a primer before we went for the draft, and he's like, don't go with your favorites. Go with the ones that have the good statistics. Yeah. So they would score based on like – you had celebrities and you had designers for clothes and jewelry and stuff. And so my strategy was if I knew there was a big like award show coming up and say, for example, one actress wears this one designer usually, then I would play them and get extra points because like almost every time, like I can't remember who I had now, but you know, like almost every time this one person wears Carolina Herrera or whatever. Yeah, I totally won.
So wait, wow. I'm totally striking out on the F's here. So I thought that fantasy football was fan fiction, and I thought fantasy fashion was something totally different. Totally different.
What you do in your bedroom is
I know.
Not
I'm like, well, that's interesting, Mylan.
Oh.
So Scott, summer game pile.
Yeah. So anyways, like Matt, it's fantasy football drafting season, so we've been getting into that and it is exciting. And if you love pretty much all you have to like is spreadsheets to play fantasy anything. So if you're a big fan of stats and spreadsheets and numbers, like it would be interesting to you. So anyways, aside from that, I have also been working a lot. I am in the home stretch of finishing things. So it's like crunch time, you know, like everyone has crunch time at their jobs. So I'm in crunch time, as it were. So that's cool, but it's going well. And for summer game pile, listen, you guys, I have now 100% achievements on all Mass 3 games, on all Mass Effect games.
Wow. Incredible.
Aww, that's awesome.
Well nice. Done.
I'm so stoked. So what I did do is I saved the Citadel DLC for last, and it is amazing.
Isn't
I can't,
it great?
Can't yeah. believe I waited until now to play it, but I had a lot of stuff to finish before that. That mission, let me tell you, man, like I felt like that was the Mass Effect movie that we're like probably never going to get to see. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Funny, a lot of inside jokes and stuff like that. I thought it was great.
Great, great character moments as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was great. And then I thought, you know, even the party, like given the limitations of what the engine can do, I still thought the party was like really good and like amazing that it just even worked to begin with. So, that was really impressive too. So I then moved on to Gears of War Judgment.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like People Can Fly like took the Gears of War assets and they were like, let's just put this on top of Bulletstorm and then we'll call that a game, you know? Because it's really gone. Like previous Gears games, the point of the game was to stay alive and not get killed. And now the point of Gears Judgment, like the main gameplay mechanic is like, see if you can score enough points to like get 3 gold stars on every level. Like it's really strange.
It's like, weird.
You can like I die constantly, but it's like never the end of the game. I never get stomped out when I die. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just like but that being said, it makes it more frantic, and I think that's kind of cool because you're not just hunkered down behind cover and shooting at enemies for 5 minutes while you're trying to maneuver through a situation. I find the game to be much more like sort of visceral in the sense that you're kind of getting in people's faces and like really using the melee and what is that? They use the phrase is gibbing when you gib somebody. Like, what does that mean? Like, it's just that, like a close up shotgun blast.
I think
or something?
It means like giblets.
Oh,
you blast them into giblets.
Okay. Yeah. So like there's a lot of that. They encourage giblets, if you will. So that's almost the end of my game pile. I've only got like 2 more games after that. And then Xbox One.
Like 50.
I know. I actually got rid of a couple. Like I just didn't even bother. Kind of just got rid of stuff. So that is that. So Hillary, why don't you go next? We'll save our special guest for last.
Hillary, where you been? We missed you.
I know.
It's been a while.
Yes. So the thing that I'm working on the most, because I am working a lot, is all of the BioWare events, which are There's a lot of them, guys. There's Gamescom, there's PAX, and there's Dragon Con, and then there's another couple that will be announced soon. So, yeah, that's been my life, and I've been trying to not get fired at my other job.
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, hanging in there.
How's your marriage going through all this?
You know, thankfully, Dave has, he's been traveling a lot for his job, so it's actually been working out really, really well. So I can work like 20-hour days, he's not here. So it's awesome. So he comes home on weekends now, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so happy to see you. Please take away the laptop now. Yeah. So So it works out really well. And then something that I've been doing to prepare for PAX for some of the panels, woohoo, that me and Mylan are on. I've been playing Skyrim again, which is a total hard thing to do because it gets so sucked in to the story. So yeah, I've been uncovering some of the romances of Skyrim. And then I also pre-ordered Xbox One and a couple games. So that's my reward. Games,
huh? Can I ask what you're picking up for? Well, I kind of know you're probably going to get Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs, but something else, anything else?
Rise and Call of Duty and the new Kinect like sports game, because that's so much fun for parties.
Oh, it got pushed back.
It did?
It's not a launch title anymore. I was going to get it too. I was really stoked on it.
Oh, no. Well, I ordered it through the Microsoft store, so I'll get it when it finally drops.
Yeah, I think it's 2014 now. I'm kind of bummed about that.
Oh, man.
But that's cool. I didn't know you were a COD player. Is that more for Dave or for yourself?
It's more for Dave. I do like COD, but yeah, he's like really into it. So
you guys used to talk about how you guys played. Not you weren't in the same room, right, or something? Because you have two Xboxes.
We would play together, and then he had a bunch of his buddies that would play, and it was like always funny. They're like, "Your wife plays COD." Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, I didn't mean that. I just meant I didn't.
No,
think
no,
you
I know.
COD.
They did.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so Scott just knows all the games that you play, and he was like going through his mental catalog.
Yeah, Hillary is a huge fan of Ubisoft.
That's what I hear. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan. Anyway, so that's pretty much my life. What's going on with your life, Mylan?
So I actually have not been working a lot because I worked so much in the past year. Basically, since last PAX Prime, I've been double or triple booked almost the entire year. So I decided to take a little bit of time off. I spent the week at the beach last week or this past week.
Wow.
You look super tan, too.
I know, right? I mean, I'm just like golden glow. For the listeners who can't see me, I am like probably the palest person you will ever meet.
Nope, I am. I got you beat.
Nope. I don't know. Have we compared? I'm pretty pale.
Yeah. I like that.
Pale off.
So I use a lot of sunblock, but also last week was pretty exciting for me because another game that I produced launched, Hex Boyfriends Strange Loves 2 Hex Boyfriends, came out on Wednesday. It was actually on the Guardian top 20 best Android apps for the week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Congrats.
Yeah, and my game book, the one that I actually wrote and produced and wrote, Strange Love's Vampire Boyfriends, which we've talked about on this podcast before, is on sale for 99 cents in a celebration of the new game coming out.
Yay.
Awesome.
Have you talked to Lacey, who wrote Hex Boyfriend, since it launched? Did you guys like get on the phone and high-five each other or anything? You have a chance to talk yet?
No, we haven't talked. We've tweeted a little bit. Since I've been out of town, I've been sort of... I was trying a new thing of trying not to be too connected, which was the first couple days were rough, but yeah. I got a little... I actually was like, okay, I'm going to be okay with not... emailing everybody back right away and checking my phone every 5 seconds. So I actually got some relaxation in. And then I know. Well, Hillary, you know, you're in the crunch time now. This is maybe like 4 months ago. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had quite as many jobs as you. You're the only person I know who has more jobs than I do.
Well, which is saying a lot. I only have two, but they're
yeah, but
intense.
Yeah. Then also been getting ready for panels for PAX, which we have a lot of panels going on.
Yay!
Giggle, giggle.
Giggle, giggle.
Yeah, just for the record, guys, we are not on a panel named Giggle, Giggle.
Yes, we are definitely not. Do you want to talk about the panels, Hillary?
Later.
Sure.
Later.
Well, I'm sorry.
Can't jump the gun here.
Is it in the show notes? Because I didn't see it before.
It is.
Oh, PAX panel info. Okay. I just broke the podcast.
Oh, not.
It's cool.
It's okay.
But you know what else is in the news?
What's that?
News.
Ben Affleck is Batman?
Correct. Question mark?
Question mark?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Hey, man.
Greatest movie, guys. That's what we should play at the party.
Anchorman?
That's exactly. Anchorman, just on loop. Such a great movie. Ben Affleck's Batman.
You said you can explain. Can you explain?
You know what, guys? All I have to say about this is let's just hope, and I think I tweeted this too, let's just hope that Ben Affleck has a real voice while he's Batman and none of this, like, hey, Batman stuff, because that's like really not cool.
So this is a different era Batman, though, is what they're doing. They're doing the Dark Knight Returns Batman, which is what Nolan tried to do in Dark Knight Rises, but didn't really pull off super well, which is like a broken down old Batman that basically has borderline quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dead serious.
Like, it's perfect.
Well, I mean, that's so the casting was between Affleck, Josh Brolin, and John M is what the rumors were.
Okay.
Those three. And they went with Affleck. But I don't think it's the worst. And first of all, everybody's making fun of him for Daredevil. He's made way worse movies than Daredevil.
Geely.
Geely, Jersey Girl. Like, there are plenty of crappy movies you can make fun of. Yeah. Daredevil seems like such an obvious
guy. Why do people hate Ben Affleck so much? I don't understand.
Because he also made, like, The Town in Argo. Like,
yeah,
he's made
The Town
wonderful
amazing.
Movies.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's because of his track record of movies in the 90s, like Reindeer Games and
sure.
And like, okay, as a kid, I fucking loved Mallrats when I was like 17, and I saw it. I'm like, this is the funniest movie
I loved
ever.
It too.
You watch too. That as an adult and you watch his performance, you're like, oh my God, like this, what is this? Like, what
they
am
were
I-
like, play stereotypical asshole. And he's like, all right. He's like, it was
he
like
was a get for that movie. Like, it was a big deal that he did that film.
Yeah.
Because that was post Good Will Hunting, wasn't it? It had to be.
No, which one was the one where they were angels?
Oh,
Dogma.
Dogma.
Yeah, that was good.
Dogma was a good movie.
Yeah.
That was good.
He was good in there.
Those are all Kevin Smith movies. I mean, all his best 90s movies were Kevin Smith.
Well, yeah. That's what made me think of it.
So, I mean, I guess the big piece of news here is that the internet went insane, as it often does. Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. Is it because all of a sudden he's like in vogue again? You know, I don't know. I feel like it's too trendy to have him be Batman.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
I think that was like the hard pick. I think Brolin would have been the easy pick for Batman.
I would have liked Ham.
But I mean, Ham, like there was a period of time a few months ago where John Ham was on TV every 5 minutes. He was on like every TV show, like SNL. He would just walk on to Daily Show. Like, he was all over the place. Yeah.
He can't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's Bruce Wayne. Don Draper, like, that's pretty awesome.
Can I tell you guys, when I went to LA, I saw Doug Loves Movies in person, the podcast, and John Hamm was on it. Did I tell you guys this story?
So, I don't think so.
Is he as good looking in person?
John Hamm's on it. So it's my wife, me, my friend Ryan, you know, and a couple of his friends all sitting like in a row. And we're sitting there watching. And to be honest, you know, even as a straight dude, yes, he is ridiculously good looking. Like, it's unfair how good looking he is in person. And he's also really funny, like, just off the cuff funny. He seems very funny. He's good looking. So I'm like, oh, fuck this guy, you know, entirely. My wife is next to me.
Matt is blushing, by the way.
My wife is next to me making noises that I have never heard her make in my entire. She'd be like, oh, and I was like, what is happening right now? Like, these weird, blushes and like. He'd like make a joke and she's like, ah. I was like, oh, gross. Why are you giggling like that? John Hamm.
Oh, gross.
He's the real deal. And then after I'm like, you were so like geeking out over him. She's like, no, I wasn't. And I'm like, yes, you were. It was completely involuntary. She was just not even, it was amazing. Anyways, I think Ben Affleck's a fine choice.
No, I don't think he's a horrible choice, but yeah, I mean, John Hamm would have been awesome.
Am I to understand correctly that he's also playing Batman in the Superman movie? So it's like not even really...
Well, it's Batman versus Superman is the tentative title.
Okay.
So like in Dark Knight Returns, basically Batman kind of goes crazy and they send in Superman to stop him because they're like, no one else in the planet of DC comics can stop Batman, essentially.
Okay.
And then they have this like crazy brawl at the end of it where they both almost kill each other.
Batman has a robot suit and it's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Sounds
it's like
great.
A great
Batman cheats though. Batman cheats, spoiler alert.
It well, sounds
he,
like you
he
won't
has
even
green
really
arrow,
have to
like up in the distance shooting it with like kryptonite arrows. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. One
so Batman's too, right? So Batman's greatest weapon is science.
Pretty much. I mean, that's really what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be, I mean, you know, he's a detective, so he's supposed to be able to use his intellect to solve crimes, and then he kind of backs that up with super ninja skills. So that's why I think so many people love him. He's a smart character, whereas Superman's just kind of like a...
I'm an alien.
Yeah, I'm a bit
of a doofus. Alien, yeah.
Hey, I like everybody. Woo, let's fly around.
So... And I think there was one funny point made that was when Dark Knight got cast and Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker, the internet exploded over that apparently too, about how bad a choice that would be. Mm-hmm. And then ended up being one of the most brilliant castings, I think, in comic book movie history. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe we all take a breath, calm down a little.
Take a step back.
I think so. My favorite. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, the Keaton era, that's my favorite Batman. And Jack Nicholson as the Joker? Pff, man.
That was pretty good.
That was amazing.
We will agree to disagree, Hillary.
And I'm going to go on record and say Michelle Pfeiffer is the best Catwoman that has ever existed.
Oh, no, Halle Berry was amazing.
Okay, you and I.
I almost spit out my drink.
No, man.
I had to promote that movie for a TV network. That was a very fun promo to write.
I'm sorry.
Catwoman, yeah. My favorite tweet that I saw was from Bonnie Burton, where she says, okay, enough about Batman, where's my Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, yeah. That's not happening anytime soon.
I know it's never going to happen, but I like to dream.
I don't think it's never going to happen. It's just not going to happen now.
I don't know. I would love, first of all, disclaimer, I would love to see a Wonder Woman movie, but I don't know if that character, unfortunately, has been... It doesn't really resonate with modern young people because it's been so out of the spotlight for so many years.
I don't agree. I strenuously disagree. I strenuously disagree.
Oh my gosh. Your pigmentation is changing from a light to a red.
She's going to Hulk out.
Okay, so Wonder Woman. Yeah, I am. So Wonder Woman is not relevant, yet Batman versus Superman is. Like, I'm sorry. like, dude.
I'm not saying it's not relevant. I'm saying that, unfortunately, in life, I spend a lot of time with 15-year-olds. And I don't ever really see them talking about or mentioning or wearing Wonder Woman stuff, which leads me to believe that, unfortunately, it's a character that isn't as popular as Batman and Superman these days.
Well, right, because it doesn't have a movie. I mean, there's nothing behind it because Hollywood won't get behind central female characters in superhero stories. It's not. I think it has everything to do with the fact that they won't make it. Because also, walk around a convention floor, you see Wonder Woman everywhere.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, the 15-year-olds don't know it yet, but that's, you know, they know Batman and Superman because it's in your face like all the time.
I'd love to see it just so she could fly in that invisible jet and people could be like, yeah, invisible jets.
what was that noise you made? You just made like a new metal. Like you were like, yeah.
I don't know. I think in the past few years in all the superhero movies, like the only like really standout character has been Jean Grey in my mind, and she's crazy, so that's not really that great. So, I mean, in the Avengers, you have Scarlett Johansson, but
you do. She's like off in the background. She has one fantastic scene, but just one, and then she's like off in the background after that for the rest of the movie,
just pouting the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Slightly less useful than somehow Hawkeye, who is like Hey, I'm just a normal dude with arrows. Aliens flying everywhere, and Iron Man flying around the air, and you're like, sure, arrow guy. You're a useful addition to this team.
Oh, well, I have a question. Did you see a lot of Iron Man stuff before the first Iron Man movie came out?
Not really. He was definitely a second tier character.
Oh yeah.
He had been around.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Well, no, he was. He was. I mean, kid.
Right. This is my point.
My whole life, and like even like my friends and I mean, some of us read Iron Man, and we liked Iron Man, but never did I think I would see an Iron Man film, especially a popular Iron Man film.
That's my point exactly.
You know why that is though. Because Marvel had none of those rights.
Yeah.
They sold all their A-list characters away to Sony. And then they were like, oh, crap, we don't have any A-list characters. To the B-tier.
They did a great job with it. I mean, yeah. I think that movie was really fun. And they cast it well. And, yeah. You know.
But that's what plagues DC. And I think that's the real problem is I think a Wonder Woman movie could work really well if they get the right people behind it. You know, I mean, the only reason Batman worked is because Nolan just did his own Batman. Like it wasn't necessarily that DC made a great movie or promoted it great. It's that Nolan managed to make a good movie. Whereas like all the Superman movies are failing horribly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't expect DC to do it. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand why Hollywood isn't doing it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Now you're looking for logic out of Hollywood, Maya.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not.
Supposedly Joss Whedon had a script and everything, but, you know, who knows? He was attached to it for a while.
Maybe if we could attach Ben Affleck to play Wonder Woman.
Oh, man.
No.
Oh, and then Wonder Woman can be Jennifer Garner, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. I forgot about that. Yeah. Incredible.
I used to love Alias.
Me too. I still do.
Oh boy!
Do you guys want to talk about some Steve Ballmer news?
Yeah, this is really surprising.
So, oh, okay, somebody does care other than me. It would be you, Hillary. We both love this stuff. All right.
Yeah, I was really shocked.
So, Steve Ballmer this week announced that he is. If you don't know who Steve Ballmer is, he's the CEO, the head of Microsoft right now, and he announced that he is stepping down within the next year. He's going to slowly phase himself out. They're going to find a new head of the company and bring that person in, and this is it. And this is a big, like,
this is huge.
You may not follow tech news, but this is big fucking deal because Steve Ballmer has been the head of Microsoft since Bill Gates stepped down.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
and was one of the first 20 employees, I think, for Microsoft. So he's been there since the 80s, the early 80s.
That's crazy.
And has seen pretty much every step of Microsoft's, you know, company growth. Has been there for it. And I think the weirdest thing, or not the weirdest, the most telling thing is that he talked about his accomplishments and some of his, you know, not accomplishments. And the one that he named as his biggest sort of, he didn't call it a mistake. He called it a
loop-de-loo.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Some Ballmerism that he said, loop-de-loo. The loop-de-loo from Longhorn to Vista.
Exactly. I was like, what?
Like, anyways, he said Vista was basically his biggest mistake that he thinks of in the past, you know, 20 years of him leading the company or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this is crazy. This is essentially the largest company in tech seeing a change at the CEO position.
Well, and I only read a few interviews, but I feel like it was, he says it's his choice, but some of the things that he also says makes it sound like it was not his choice at all.
Maybe not completely. Yeah, I think the board was like, all right, man, it's time for us to get some new blood in here.
And when he announced his resignation, the stock jumped up over 7%.
Wow.
Seriously?
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
It did.
I mean, the company needs some change. Like, it's getting lost in that sort of Goliath-sized, you know, IBM, HP-type company where it's just so big and doing so many things that it can't figure out what the hell it should do to stay relevant and stay on top right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you know? I mean, if the recent past is any indication, I definitely know who should be the head of this to right the ship, and that's got to be J.J. Abrams, you know? He should just produce the next version of Windows 8, you know, the next Star Wars. Like, he's taking care of everything for us.
It's just light flares all over the screen.
Lens flare, yeah.
Oh, no.
The one name I have heard is Reed Hastings from Netflix, head of Netflix, but I don't see that happening. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, do you think this is all predicated by the big Xbox disaster? Not no. disaster, but. I mean, Windows like right after.
Seems kind of as a disaster. The Surface was a much larger disaster than Xbox is going to come close to being.
Right.
So.
That's really sad. I was so hoping that the Surface would be, you know, would take down iPad.
There's probably going to be a new one this year, too. Another RT.
There will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the problem is that, and I always say this, like Ryan and I both kind of follow Microsoft and talk about it, and Scott does with us as well, but they're always like so close. Everything they do is always like almost there.
Yeah. Like, and Xbox, you know what? I love my Surface.
Xbox definitely, I still believe that the original vision for Xbox was something that was completely awesome and I was totally on board with. So the fact that they've like, I don't know, backed up and changed course is not making me happy with Microsoft right now.
They're bringing back some of it slowly.
I mean, I still pre-ordered the Xbox. So, I mean, it's they still have me as a customer. But still, I'm really sad that they didn't stick to the guns a bit.
But I actually think they're backing, while I thought it was kind of ridiculous that they 180'd entirely, they are slowly backing back into the policies that they were talking about before. And I think they were just waiting for everybody to kind of like move on to the, you know, Ben Affleck being Batman so that they could kind of be like, oh, by the way, all your digital rights will move with you from machine to machine and you can share a gold account with your entire family. And you can, and it's like they're starting to kind of like move that stuff back into play in like a quieter way. So
unfortunately, a lot of it is just doing cheerleading, you know, like getting people excited for it. It's really not
they
about
do have
policies.
The worst PR.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Created. They're pretty bad at promoting just about anything that they do.
I mean, like,
you know, I mean,
their direct marketing is very questionable. I mean, the types of emails that I get from them from at a marketing level, like I'm just looking at it like I'm not B2B. Why are you treating me business to business?
Right. Case in point, Matt, what did Melissa call the Surface? She's like,
cookie thing.
She's like, do I need
Should
a Microsoft
I get one of those
click?
Cookie things?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
because of the commercials?
It's because the first round of commercials were, and I'll tell you when it happened too, but the first round of commercials were people dancing with a fucking tablet.
Mm-hmm. Like, give me a fucking break.
Like
show me what it does.
To dubstep, and you're like, what is this about? This doesn't even mean anything. And then the second round of commercials was head to head with the iPad. Look what our thing can do. And then they made fun of Siri, and it was a little more like tongue-in-cheek and done in such a better way.
I think that's
that
much
commercial
more effective.
Was the one that Melissa said, oh, should I get a Surface?
That's such
a
better marketing
strategy. But that's
strategy.
Not even a Surface. That's somebody else's tablet.
But I mean, it's still RT.
It's a win for Microsoft either way, though. It doesn't matter. Yeah, like it's a thing that their brand is on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's shocking news. I mean, not shocking. You're watching the company just not – since Vista has just been going downhill, like kind of in a way. So to see a change is not crazy.
I'm not expecting a huge shift, though, in any industry back to Lotus Notes, you know? So I have a feeling that, like, Microsoft still has a place for Windows, you know?
Sure, it does, but it's at the business level, and that's not exciting or fun for anyone.
No,
I think
all enterprise.
I think Apple started taking away some of their steam early on with the creative side of things, and then I think Google came in and is stomping them on anything to do with Office or Notes, and you know anything Google does, they immediately move into it and just start destroying anybody in that sector. So, it's interesting. I don't know. I'm interested to see. Like, we've seen other big changes recently. Yahoo changed to Marissa Meyer, and I think they're doing better now. They're starting to make some really good decisions. So,
did you see her spread in Vogue?
I did not.
Oh man, that was a big like at the enterprise kind of space. It absolutely made a lot of waves. She has this spread in Vogue where she's like the center model or whatever, and she is basically like lounging upside down on a chaise, like all red lipstick and sexy times.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I haven't seen this.
No, it's really kind of bad considering her stance on, you know, working in the office and kind of cracking down on flexibility for working moms and things like that. So just to see her kind of like all dolled up in high fashion in a fashion magazine, stretched out upon a chaise in her like luxurious backyard is really kind of like what? So it's kind of a big deal. It was all over, you know, like tech press, at least the stuff that I was reading this week.
Wow.
So
I missed that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was really upset about that, actually. But Yahoo is actually picking steam. I mean, they're killing Google in a couple markets, so we'll see what happens.
A lot of their products are looking a lot better. Flickr looks gorgeous on mobile. And I mean, they're doing stuff that is smart. So
and they just redid the fantasy football website.
Mm-hmm. Looks amazing too.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And they picked up Tumblr, right? They own Tumblr now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is it time to talk about PAX?
PAX.
I think it is time to talk about PAX.
Okay.
It's PAX time. So I guess the first thing to talk about is the party. And if you've been listening to the past couple episodes, you know that we've been kind of plugging it. But we are having a gathering of sorts, a meeting. What do you want to call it? What do we call it?
A meetup.
A meetup. There we go.
Yeah, shindig.
A shindig. There we go. A hoot nanny, if you will.
I like hoot nanny.
Loopy loop.
I like hoot nanny.
So we're having a hoot nanny, and it's going to happen on Thursday night. We'll probably go ahead and we're not going to give the location away because the space is kind of limited and we can't have too many people there. And we know the demand to hang out with us is just so, I mean,
through the roof.
It's crazy. There's going to be a line out the door. There's going to be bouncers. I mean,
Sean's going to be at the door and he's going to be like, no, you have to go home.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to make my husband work that night as a bouncer?
Yeah. No, we're going to pay him in slices of pizza.
I was just trying to think of someone who would be potentially intimidating that could block the door. And I thought it was relevant.
Do that. Work as a bouncer.
Yeah,
so.
Do that.
There you go. I wasn't off the mark. Come on.
Yay.
I also like that you want to pay him in pizza and you pay me in pizza coupons. Not sure how that works, but okay.
Funny story. Do you like pizza? Matt used to pay his debts in movie bucks. When we were kids.
I did a couple times. Yeah. I honestly did it once, but it has become the thing that I always did when I was a teenager, was pay in movie bucks. Look, man, Adam accepted it, okay? He accepted the movie dollars and said, this is fine with me, and I said, cool, and we were paid off. We were even at that point. What do you want
Fair
me
enough.
To do? We saw
Fair
a lot
enough.
Of movies as kids. It worked.
So anyway. I paid people in Macy's gift cards.
Our mother-in-law pays us in restaurant coupons that we will never go to, like Bennigan's.
Olive Garden.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that from my in-laws, like Olive Garden. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
The other week, Matt and I did like 3 or 4 hours of back-breaking labor in like 100-degree weather with like wasps and bugs flying all around us, and we got like a $20 gift card for Olive Garden.
I know. We both sat there, and I was like, well, okay. At least there's... I guess we'll maybe go to Bahama Breeze or something.
Smoky Bones. Anyways. Can you go to Smoky Bones?
So yeah, the party. Nope. It is going to be on Thursday night. So if you arrive early for PAX and you want to hang out with us and other fun people, let us know, and we'll there's links floating around, and we'll probably put a link in the show notes for sort of last minute people. Maybe I don't know.
Probably not.
Maybe
we not. Don't have to put links in show notes.
No, we're hearing no. But anyway, so. Tweet at us.
On the last podcast, we told you where you could sign up if you were interested in going.
Yes.
I love how you're making it into a game. Like, go to the last podcast. 20 minutes in.
Scavenger hunt in order to figure out where the heck this place is.
Well, it's not that it's exclusive. It's just that the space is not very big. So you just have to kind of, it just needs to be managed, you know?
Yeah. There's only so many people you can fit on a party bus.
Gosh, don't tell anyone. I'll
That's
be actually not a bad idea for next time.
Be awesome.
Oh my god!
It's not a bad idea.
Paxi's party bus.
It's a bad idea.
Like a tub crawl.
Woo. All right, ladies. Since you are on all these panels, why don't you tell us a little bit about the panels that you guys are going to be on at PAX, and maybe we'll have some people show up
and say the names very slowly and clearly so that we understand them.
I know. I heard that Ash cannot
giggle.
Right. I heard Ash cannot say the title of the one that he's moderating, which
I've been practicing. I'm going to save it for the day of, just so I can.
No. You got to say.
I told him if he gets up and like totally screws up right out of the gate, and then just like pees himself with worry, that I'll jump up and help out if he needs it.
I'll tag that in.
Is that Matt? Are you saying that I should have chosen you to be the moderator for that?
Well,
panel
I'm clearly
instead?
The better choice, but that's fine. That you're
I've learned my lesson. Maybe
sometimes
we'll
I can't speak English. Okay, big deal.
It remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll get comment cards on how Ash does at the end of that panel.
You guys can co-moderate.
No.
There you go. I just really wanted to say the title, actually.
Moving on. So what else are you guys doing? Let's let the listeners hear what's going on.
Okay, so first up on Sunday at 7:30 p.m., we are on a panel called Romance and Games. And we're really happy to be joined by Karen Weeks and Patrick Weeks
awesome.
At Bioware. Awesome. I know. And I'm telling you guys, it's going to be such a great panel. We had a hangout the other night, and it was awesome. I mean, it just flowed. We have like cool things to talk about, really different ideas and perceptions on things. So I think it's going to be a really interactive, super awesome discussion. Mm-hmm. And bring your questions. Fun. Yeah, bring your questions too, because we'll definitely have some time for Q&A. And I think, I would love to see what people ask and what comes out of the conversation.
And awesome. other panel members?
Melissa and Anna from Reset Transmission. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So there are, and Sean Baptiste will be moderating from awesome. Firehose Games.
Moderate with bourbon again, or
oh, I'm
He's
sure.
So awesome. I
He's
love
so
him.
So funny. Yeah. So I think it'll be funny and fun. I mean, everybody on the panel is funny, and we all get along really well. So you guys should come hang out. Plus, it's Sunday night. We have Monday off, so it's not too late.
Some of us have Monday off.
Well, I mean, when I say Monday off, I mean we don't all have to go home on Monday. Hopefully.
That's yes. true.
And I know that the
because at
the
10 a.m. on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Just stay the night.
Yeah, we have another panel. It's called It's Not Too Dangerous to Go Alone, Finding the Bravery to Do It Yourself. And it was put together by Kenna Conklin from Geek Portland. And it's...
For the record, I discovered that when I was about 12 and a half while reading an issue of X-Force comic.
Do you know that I was... Know how to find yourself. You can do it yourself.
So anyway, it's about
just making a sexy time joke.
No, I
anyway,
get it.
It's
fantasy
about
fashion.
Having really good ideas and making them happen. I'm ignoring all of you and making them happen. And what you can do if you have like if you want to be creative but you don't really like necessarily have the confidence to do it, we're gonna talk to you about how to find that.
It's cool. That's a really great yes. subject. I like that a lot.
And then at Thanks 3 o'clock on Monday, and 3 o'clock on Monday, we have the awesome panel that we were talking about before, which Ash is moderating, called +10 Publicity, mm-hmm. Marketing Your Indie Game. Right? Is that right?
Yes, marketing and promoting your indie game.
And promoting your indie game. Okay, yes. Cool. And it's a bunch of awesome people from different disciplines who all kind of work in the marketing arena in different facets. So it should be really, really cool. I'll let Mylin tell you who the panelists are. It's going to be super exciting.
Yes.
I'm just really looking forward to having a discussion with these people because everybody's so talented on the panel. And it's all about all of the things that you need to put together to make a kick-ass marketing plan and basically how to press go and really get your name out there. So, why don't you tell us who the panelists are, Mylin?
Yes.
Mylin.
So obviously,
I call you Mylin.
Mylin.
Why is this so difficult? I don't understand what happened.
Trust me. I don't know. My whole life. It's only been my whole life. So obviously, Hillary and I will be on there. And I work in television marketing in addition to working in games. And Hillary, obviously, you know that she is a very high-powered marketing executive. But we also have... Dallas Taylor from DeFacto Sound, who they mix a bunch of the really high-end trailers for Bethesda games. And Sean Barrows, my husband, who is also, we do work together, and he also is an editor for marketing for National Geographic Channel. And Kelly Wallach, who is the mastermind behind the Indie Mega Booth. So I think we do. And of course, Ash will be moderating. I think we have I think we have a good sampling of people who have
I'm going to break this panel.
Anyway.
So are you regretting your decision, aren't you?
Hey, Matt, what are you doing Monday at 3 p.m.?
I'm available. Don't worry. I'll be okay. Heckling Ash at a panel otherwise.
Okay, just making sure. But I do. I think we have a good... range of people who have a lot of experience, but different kinds of experiences. So I think you'll, even if you don't make indie games, you'll find it interesting.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Well, you know, MTV blog picked it up and said that it was one of their most anticipated panels.
Yeah,
so I'm super excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw MTV Geek said something about it, which didn't make me nervous at all.
nervous for which panel, Ash?
You know, the panel that I'm on Monday at 3:00. 3:00.
Oh,
in the
no.
Wolfman Theater.
Oh, Ash.
I'll be there. Don't worry about it. It'll be great.
Yeah, no, I'll make sure you're there. I'll make sure Sean makes sure you're there.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
He's bigger than me.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to see you, Hillary, and see you, Mylin. And I think, Scott, we're going together and sleeping in the same room. So I'm
most likely we'll have a queen size bed to share.
And I think Scott's going to randomly show up. I really do. I think it's going to he's going to like come dropping out of the sky like a halo drop. And he's going to come just landing and like with his glorious, like, you know, just his hair all splashing around, and I think it's going to be
with a sweatband on.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
He's going to dance into the room.
It's too close to call. Too close to call at this time.
Man, you really got to go. It'll be fun.
You got to get a chandelier. I told you it's crunch time. I'll do the best I can. I'll do the best I can.
All right.
So another thing. Speaking of panels, obviously I'll be at the BioWare base for the entirety of the show. And something really awesome that I'm super excited about is that Nerd Appropriate is going to be recording and releasing all the panels in the BioWare base. So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that was we're happy to do that again, and we're going to bring a number of them to you guys, and you know, and of course we're keeping our fingers crossed that everything works.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not at all nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's not at all when you have a lot of people looking at you. So that'll be exciting. So we'll be giving you guys, I think, what did we say? 10 panels this time or something?
A lot
like
of
that?
Panels. Yeah. On the BioWare side, there are so many amazing panels this year. And I mean, normally we have, you know, a group of maybe 6 or 7 that repeat every day. But this time around, we've got so many cool, like, Dragon Age Inquisition panels that are super niche, which I'm super excited about, like playable races and crafting and customization. So, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to the BioWare base already, if you haven't planned on it, you should definitely check out the schedule and show up because it's going to be awesome.
Sweet.
And if you're not there, if you're not going to PAX, listen to them on Nerd Appropriate. So, we're good.
See all of us wandering around.
Yeah, we got you covered.
Stay tuned for that.
Okay, so we are back, and I'm going to talk about Saints Row 4. I'm loving it. It's a lot of fun. I guess, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, Saints Row 4 is the follow-up to last year's huge hit, which was Saints Row the Third, which surprised a lot of people. Volition kind of knocked it out of the park, and even though the game was ridiculous, I think people enjoyed how much you could do and how silly and fun it was, and it also made really great use of licensed music. And so this time around, if you haven't been paying attention, Saints Row 4 was actually supposed to be DLC for Saints Row the Third, which you can kind of tell, and that kind of bums me out a little bit. The narrative, obviously, I mean, people are going to laugh at me, but the narrative isn't quite as strong. But if you played Saints Row the Third, it had a lot of really incredible cinematics.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of really fun, really memorable experiences, right? And granted, like, you know, I mean, things like jumping out of an exploding plane, you know, and just, you know, surfing on the top of cars that are falling from the sky and safes and all sorts of crazy stuff. It was just like balls to the wall insanity, right? And some of the best use of licensed music, I think, ever in the game. And it had a soundtrack of like well over 100 really incredible songs that would come on during the best time ever, you know, in a video game sequence. So during car chases, it would just be like, you know, metal, and it was great. So Saints Row 4, not the fourth, it takes place, I think, like 5 years after the third game, and your character has gone on to become the president of the United States.
Naturally,
which is, you know, the natural progression of things. And all of your gang members, Pierce and all them. They're all your cabinet members. The vice president is Keith David, played by Keith David.
I love it. So. Is it just Keith David?
He is Keith David in the game. Like in the game, Keith David is Keith David.
I love it.
Wow. And the thing that's cool is if you're a science fiction fan, the game parallels Mass Effect and The Matrix, like exactly. So you go into this machine and you go into this alternate reality, and in this alternate reality, you have superpowers. So it's the Saints Row universe where you are hacking the system in order to gain new abilities as you progress. And then once you unplug yourself from the machine, you're back to kind of your old self. Right now, I think I'm maybe 7 hours in, and I've unlocked like telekinesis and super speed and wall running, and I can freeze stuff, and it's really fun. The guns are a lot of fun. It's just a blast. The music is equally fun this time around. I think this time there's like over 130 different licensed tracks, number of different radio stations you can toggle through. So there was one sequence that Scott will really like. I was gaining my powers for the first time, and the song from Transformers the movie came on. You've Got the Touch.
You've Got the Touch.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was like,
Stan Bush, right?
Yes, yeah, Stan Bush.
And I was like, okay, now this game has me roped in. It's silly. It's fun. Like, I wish there was a way to turn your powers off, because once you can have super speed and run and jump on buildings and stuff like that, you don't really need the cars anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and that kind of is kind of a bit of a bummer. Your powers have a long cooldown time though, so you still will be using a lot of your guns.
Oh,
so you
okay.
can't just like you can't just shoot beam after beam after beam. You know, it's like every maybe 10 seconds or something you can use a big ability. So they're more like grenades than they are really like things that are game breaking, right? But if you're a fan of Saints Row the Third, definitely pick up 4. I'll probably talk about it in a couple weeks after we're done with the pack stuff, after I beat the game and
how
a little bit more detail. But
how is the gunplay in this game? Because that's not really what this game is known for, but it seems like it's becoming, I don't know, like something that people will pay attention to now, even in the open world games.
I always felt like this game needed a cover mechanic, which it didn't have, because I guess the game is supposed to be very fast and frantic. So there is no cover mechanic. You can't hide behind walls and you can't hide behind cars and stuff like that. It just has a really basic duck feature, which is kind of a bummer. You know, the gunplay, to be honest, is it's fun, but it's a little weak. Like a lot of the guns feel similar. New guns are incredible. Like there's a gun that that beams people up and the sky like they're being abducted by aliens. There's another gun that shoots like these crazy bouncing balls of energy. There's a black hole gun that sucks people in and disintegrates them. So the big weapons, like the super weapons, are a ton of fun, but the regular, you know, pistols and you know, machine guns and stuff like that just kind of feel a little lackluster. It just, to be honest, the game feels a little bit dated at this point, because I think it is, you know, using the same engine and such from Saints Row the Third. So I'm really interested to see what Volition does if they make a next gen version of Saints Row. That'll probably be pretty incredible. So
yeah, I mean, you don't play Saints Row for the gunplay. I just wanted to know how it was. I mean, I'm sure it's hilarious and.
No, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I think it mixes well with your powers. Like, you'll fight these big, like, basically monsters that the boss will send after you, and you can't. They have these shields that you have to knock down with your superpowers. And then you have to do a combination of your superpowers and gunplay and then later on melee and stuff in order to actually take these opponents down. So it forces you to kind of be a little bit more practical, which is fun.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Hillary, can you tell us about the White Queen? And I was really excited because I thought this was going to be about Emma Frost, who was in the X-Men and the Hellfire.
No,
definitely not.
No, but this looks really interesting.
It really is good. I mean, I've read the books from Philippa Gregory. She's probably one of my favorite authors for historical fiction. And the production quality is really high. I mean, if you like The Tudors, you'll love The White Queen. And it's all about royal intrigue. And that's my dog in the background. It's really good. I mean, it's acted really well. I don't want to go into the story too much because everything is a spoiler. But I've seen the first two episodes. It's on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. on Stars, and you should check it out if you're into England and the era right before Henry VIII.
Okay. I've seen it.
I've seen the episodes too.
Yeah, it's about. I think it starts in the year like 1480 something. So it's the Plantagenets versus the Tudors versus and there's like the Lancasters and the Yorks. So if you know anything about historical fiction, or sorry, not historical fiction, but any of the English history dating back in that era, it's awesome.
I actually watched it the first two episodes as well, and I didn't love it.
You didn't love it? Why didn't you love it?
I mean, do you want to get into a little, can we talk a little bit about, I mean, it's stuff that happens in the first episode?
Sure, yeah.
Do it.
You don't like that he tried to rape her?
Yeah. I mean, now, okay, so for those who haven't seen it yet, she is, the central character is this widow who meets the king, and they begin spending time together, and they eventually, obviously, she get married, and she becomes the White Queen. But I think it's like the first time they really spend time together, he tries to force himself on her. And I know that this is
England.
I understand that, but it's also 2013. And I know that this is, there's a report of something like this having happened, but I really didn't like the way they dealt with it. I think they could have, because he actually is like physically on top of her, like up under her skirt, trying to force her to have sex with him, and she does this badass thing where she gets away from him and puts her knife to her throat and says, okay, you could do whatever you want, but I'll kill myself if you try to violate me. And the problem I have with it is that from then on, he is presented as this gorgeous, romantic, desirable character, and he's a date rapist. And so if they hadn't had them physically interact that way, if he had tried to order her to have sex with him instead, he's like, yeah, I'm the king, what? You should do this, it's just like, whoa, no, I would have found it a lot more easy. It would have been a lot easier for me to be okay with him in future scenes.
So he's not set up as like a negative character from
he's not no, no they're like, oh, it's gorgeous and romantic.
But here's the thing, you have to That's think strange. About the setting. It's a violent time. England is in chaos because one king killed another, and this new king is now in charge. And I think that what they're trying to show, I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of rape anything, right? Rape jokes, imagery, anything like that. Just I know that there is a joke back there, and I don't want to hear it. Huge.
Who's a huge fan of it?
That's like very bad people.
No, there are some people that think rape jokes are funny, though.
Yes, it's true. Like, and I'm totally anti that. But at the same time, I get what they were trying to demonstrate, that she was strong enough to stand up to him and not give in when most people of that time, if the king says something, you do it. So. Right. I like the fact that she was willing to, turn the tables on him. And I think that showed a lot about her character.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree with you. It was uncomfortable. But I think the thing about him being set up as a strong character, or a romanceable character or something, is that you're never quite sure about him. And I think that's the reason why they did that. Because even though he's like the king and they're in love and all of this stuff, I think probably I know too much about the story because I've read the books. It's not what it's cracked up to be. And I think because that happened, you're like, yep, I should have seen that coming.
Well,
that's
fine with me. She just never has any hesitation towards him. She's just like, oh, he's great. Yeah, I'll marry him. She never has a moment where she says, okay, strategically, it makes sense for me to marry this man to become queen. Power is important. My family's survival is important.
Think about her mother.
No, yeah, but she doesn't. I don't care what her mom says. She just is like, he's cute. Yeah, I'll marry him. It's
bigger than that, though. Think about what her mom does. Her mom's a witch. Like, there are things at work beyond. I think that they probably just didn't do a very good job showing those things.
That's
and I
my
think
point.
I think it's only because I've read the books that I'm like, yep, I can understand and get this. I can get behind this. Plus, I mean, my tolerance is probably worn down because I knew that was going to happen between the main character and the king.
I'm still confused about why Cyclops, or when Cyclops became a rapist. Wait, this is the wrong.
Who?
The wrong.
He's still confused
Thank
about
you,
the White
Ash.
Queen.
It was a valiant effort, Ash. It was a worthwhile effort.
Wow.
Joke didn't really land, I think, at the end of the day.
I don't think it did. I think
you floated it in, but you didn't really nail the runway.
So aside from that, if you're interested in finding out more about the White Queen, it's on Stars Sunday nights at 9. I think it's good. Other people, Mylan has a really strong point, and I'm not gonna disregard that. So that's out there. But something that you should also be watching is Heroes of Cosplay.
Yes.
So yes.
Yeah. have you guys watched it yet?
Yeah, yes. I totally watched it.
How many guys have watched episode 2? Have you guys seen episode 2 yet?
I did not get to see 2 yet.
Episode 2 was, I think, better produced than the first episode. I think it kind of portrays it in a little bit more of a positive light. I think the first episode, do you disagree?
I do. It's simply because I don't like that they set up the rivalry between Yahya Han and Jessica Negri.
I totally agree with that because
Jessica Negri is not a part of the show. And I think she even tweeted something about that.
She did. Like, she said, I turned the show down to avoid drama and they still dragged me into it, which is not really fair to her, you know?
No. Yeah. And they made her look, I mean, I've met and hung out with Jessica. She's such a nice, awesome person. And if I remember back to the days when Yahya was first starting, I remember that she cosplayed an ox and a moon from The Mummy, which is like a naked outfit with just paint. So I think a lot of what she's saying about craftsmanship and nudity and all of that stuff, I think it's kind of hypocritical. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I've met Jessica too, and I've never met Yahya. But from the looks of things, it appears as though Yahya dresses quite provocatively as well. So it's not like Yahya is dressed in like a sack.
I mean, and Yahya definitely has she's an amazing cosplayer, and the fact that she's able to build these really elaborate costumes in a short amount of time. She's got years and years and years of experience, and she knows what she's doing. She's super knowledgeable, and all the props to Yahya Han. But I just hated how they like made this whole drama about cosplay and how you can't cosplay if you're overweight. Somebody was saying that in the context of if you put yourself out there, you'll get all these negative comments.
Yeah.
And I think that the point was heard, but I think it was taken in a very bad way, and I think it was turned around to be something that was really ugly.
So
I really like the show Heroes of Cosplay. Obviously, you know, Holly and Jessica are friends of mine, and I think that they're amazing on the show.
Well, why don't we back up a second and actually explain what the show's about for people that have not seen it yet?
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Okay, so Heroes of Cosplay is a 6-episode docuseries on the world of cosplay, and it's based around this idea that there's these professional cosplayers like Chloe Dykstra, Holly Conrad, Jessica Marazin, Yahya Han, and a bunch of others, Monica Lee, and they go around the country to, like, competing in these cosplay contests, and hilarity and drama ensues in the quest to make costumes on a deadline and compete in contests. So that's what the show is about, and it's on the Sci-Fi Network. And it's actually a very entertaining show, so I would highly recommend people watch it.
Yeah,
I think everybody should watch it. I think it was a good series. Ash and I had talked about it previously because I only saw the first episode, and I really only had two kind of minor complaints about it, but it was that it feels a little too manufactured right now. Like, some of the scenarios, I'm just like, come on. Like, I get it, it's reality TV, mm-hmm. and a lot of that stuff is manufactured anyways. I don't know if it's the production, but it feels a little more transparently manufactured than some of the other stuff that might be on. And that kind of bothered me a little, but it wasn't like, it didn't ruin the show or ruin the series. It just was like, there are certain scenarios where it was just kind of like eye roll, like, okay, yeah, I get it. Can we just get to the cosplay, like, let's move the story forward and get to where we're going. It was weird, stuff that just doesn't happen. It just was odd. I think it's pretty easy to spot when you see especially the first episode, and it might just be kind of pilot syndrome or first episode syndrome. But
yeah,
the other thing was that Ash just addressed was that the first episode felt really underproduced. Like, mm-hmm. the quality of the actual shoot just felt like lower than maybe I expected it to look, but it might have just been misconception. I don't know. It was just weird. I was just like, man, this looks like it wasn't, you know, maybe it was shot without the budget. Maybe they were like, yeah, we'll do this, but we're not sure. And then I don't know all the specifics.
Pilot syndrome again.
Yeah, it just felt weird. I was like, this doesn't feel like as well done as like even other shows on Sci-Fi, like Face Off or
Sharknado.
Something else.
Well, okay, so let me step in because I work in another part of television, in production and television, and I will say something like Face Off is really easy to have great production value because it's one location, they're in a studio, they can light it, they can leave the cameras, there's nothing to it. But these kinds of run and gun reality shows like this, they have been slashing the budgets for those since before I've been in TV, and I've been in TV more years than I'd care to say. I mean, you know, I used to work on staff at National Geographic Channel, and they would send people out to do a shoot in Africa where it was one producer who was doing her own shooting, and she'd pick up a sound guy at, like, in country, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think, you know, cable television has been cutting themselves, especially nonfiction, undercutting themselves for so many years because we would be in situations where we'd call in favors to finish a show because we didn't have the money to do it. And so then they were like, great, you can do it for that budget, when the reality was we could do it this one time because we pulled all of our resources to do that. Wow. So for something like this, they can't light it.
A convention lighting is like the worst lighting ever created. Mm-hmm. It's like fluorescents that are like 40 feet above you, and it's awful. It's hard to shoot in. I understand that. It felt weird, I guess, for the first episode. It was just a little off-putting, I guess.
I guess
absolutely. I'm with you. I understand. I agree. Yeah. That's a reason why it would be. Yeah.
I guess in closing, I think everyone should really be proud of this series because what it's trying to do is it's trying to portray cosplay as an art form, and I think it really is an art form, and people work their asses off in order to produce these costumes and in order to embody these characters to entertain people, and conventions would not be the same without cosplayers. Mm-hmm. If you went to a convention and no one was dressed up, it wouldn't be as fun. And
even with AFO that we went to last week, that was the whole attraction.
A lot of time it's the highlight of these conventions, and so these people work their asses off, and I think this is the first series to really highlight that. The problem, of course, is you have to create a narrative. You have to make sure that the audience is drawn in, and so there's going to be drama, even if it's, you know, slightly manufactured.
Yeah,
I think if you really want to enjoy the series, look at the craftsmanship, look at the people that are making these costumes, and kind of try and get to know them, and kind of like just look through the bullshit. And I guess in closing of my closing, something really cool happened. Something really cool happened the other day. I had two students that were leaving my classroom, and it was like the end of the day, and they were like super exhausted. And I was like, "Are you guys okay?" They're like, "Oh, we were up really late watching TV." And I was like, "What were you guys watching?" And they're like, "Oh, we stayed up late watching Heroes of Cosplay." And I like kind of smiled. I'm like, "Oh, do you guys like cosplay?" And they're like, "Yeah, like we have a cosplay group here in town. We think the show is really great." And these are 15-year-old girls. And they're like, "Yeah, we think cosplay is a lot of fun. We have a cosplay group. And we think, you know, the show is a lot of fun. And we can't wait to see what happens."
That's fantastic.
So they're drawn in, you know. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's really all about. You know, it should be inspirational for people to become creative and show off the things that they can do.
Yeah, and I don't want it to sound like I'm shitting on the show. It's not that at all. Like, there's the part of me, there's the part of me that just wants to be like, it's cool enough just to show it. We don't need to manufacture drama around it. But I also know that that's not true. Like, the general audience is going to want some kind of story moving through the episodes, you know.
But here's the thing, like, having worked in a garage for Crabcat for a couple years, that trauma there is a lot of drama in getting things done. So I know that most of it's manufactured, but I can say with all certainty that a lot of that drama is real. And believe me, we had some very interesting times in the garage at Crabcat when we were trying to get things done for Bioware.
well, drama or no, it seems like an interesting series, and we'll stick
definitely
with it. So let's
take
a quick break, and then we'll move on to our Naquado, which is about looking forward to things at PAX.
I
I'm Crabcat XO and Bioware Community Manager Jessica Marzen, and I was forced to say that I was on the Nerd Appropriate podcast.
Okay, we are back with our Nerd Appropriate question of the week for episode 118. And since this is sort of our pre-PAX episode, we have a pre-PAX question. And the question is, are you excited for PAX next week? And I'm sorry for people that aren't going, by the way. This is like sorry, suckers.
But we'll be bringing content to them.
You can still be excited for the news from PAX.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the second portion of the question is, what PAX panels, titles, and events are you flailing with excitement for? Flail.
So I guess we'll have to save our burrito question for next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to have that burrito question.
Fair enough.
I'm dying to know what this burrito question is. I've heard you talk about it like three weeks.
You'll have to wait till next time.
I have to answer it. I have lots of opinions on burritos.
Okay. We'll let you know.
Man, I can't wait for this response. The first one is from Facebook, and sometimes we'll put our Naquato up on Facebook. But this one's from Jerome Joaquin Mabry. And he says, so excited to see and speak with the developers, all my friends at BioWare. Definitely like more info on Dragon Age Inquisition. Is it too early for Mass Effect 4 or whatever they're going to call it? And any panel on how to break into the video games industry? And any panel featuring the one and only Hillary? Of course.
So I know
who Jerome is. I see him at shows all the time, and
he's always
carrying a like WWF belt on his shoulder. Wow.
I like it.
Yes, the WWF belt guy. Is he the champion of something?
For BioWare, he is, because he was like on the first team to pass platinum level on Mass Effect multiplayer.
But you don't get a belt every time for that. BioWare did not give him a belt.
It doesn't matter. He's still first in the world.
He can still celebrate that accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm all about it. So he probably has other accomplishments, which is why he carries the belt. But the one that I'm so excited about is that he did the multiplayer stuff. Okay.
What's the belt all about? Because
for the record, there's no such thing as Mass Effect 4. Just for the record.
Yeah, he said whatever they're going to call it.
Whatever they're going
to. Just saying that out there.
All right.
Can we ask Jerome to please tweet at us and tell us what the belt is for?
Yeah, please.
I have a better idea. If he's at PAX, I want to let's have him do like a wrestling championship thing on the mic, you know, like where he's like, I'm going to take the guy out like
Totally.
I mean, I don't want to insult him in case he is like a, you know, a pro wrestler and he might just whoop my ass.
We just want more info.
No, I mean, is that insulting? I think that's
amazing. No, we just want the deets.
That's the best part of WWF.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Awesome.
All right. So Andrew Baker at abakern7 says, the BioWare panels for sure. Woohoo. Glad to see they'll be on your site again. Really wish I had time or money to go in person.
Don't we all?
And then sad face. And then he says, also romance and gaming is another good one next year, hopefully. So that, I guess, means that we need to do it again and again and again. Right, Mylan?
Yeah, why not?
Romance, gaming, it's different every time.
It is different every time.
Geriatric romance and gaming.
Thank you.
What?
Ash.
You could call it.
Are you calling us old?
No, by the time it's the 11th.
Jerk.
You guys...
The silence after that was the most amazing thing ever created.
Uh-oh.
Just died. Nope.
It's like most of my jokes today are just fucking spot on.
It's like you said earlier. You dropped a deuce on it.
Okay. So, friend of the site, Bethany Westmoreland at HemiArt says, I am so excited. And of course, all the BioWare. Go figure.
Yay.
I am excited.
I'm saying that there's a lot of work behind the scenes at BioWare, so just to hear like how many people are interested in going to the base makes me a very happy girl.
people appreciate the effort. I don't think that can be understated.
Woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And how?
Anybody jump in.
All right.
Natalie at Stumpy Nat. I got it, man. Back off.
All right.
Sorry. Natalie at Stumpy Nat says, yes, BioWare panels and getting to hang out with you guys a bit, plus booze and food, lots of things.
Yes.
She's, awesome. Don't forget, Space Pope.
She is.
Space Pope.
Is Space yes.
Pope. Space Pope Stumpy Nat.
All right, so Nate Hales at nhales80 says, nothing excites me more than seeing your faces.
Ah, what a pal.
I know. I could tell last time.
What?
What?
What was that?
I'm going to read another one, guys.
I think that was an erection joke.
Oh my God, you guys, seriously?
Okay, Amanda T. at Fluid Fire says, Dragon Age Inquisition, of course, your meetup, which is the Nerd Appropriate pre-PAX party.
Yep.
Shindig.
The CAH panel. Hopefully we get to play Watch Dogs, AC4, and want to play the PAX 10 too.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Gunpoint.
Yeah, I want to. I need to look up that CAH panel. I'm really into that game right now. So, I want to know about Picard's Against Humanity and when that's coming out.
Yes. So.
No, go ahead. I want to hear it. Nothing? You got nothing?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. King
people
Jimmy.
People hate me today. I'm just going to shut up.
No, I'm calling you to the floor. You got nothing?
I really thought there was going to be a Picard impersonation. I was waiting for it.
It turns into Sean Connery.
That's okay.
Make it so.
I'll take a Connery too. Anyways, King Jimmy at Drakmarth says, I'll be at PAX UK, also known as crying in the office or sobbing under my covers.
Aww.
Jimmy.
You can live vicariously through us.
Yes, and listen to the panels.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Chris Jenkins says, I just want to hear Ash say plus 10 publicity.
Hey!
Which he totally will. I believe in you, but I have to really enunciate publicity.
Like it's a
foreign
word. Oh, that just sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be so
it's
amazing.
It's particularly.
Publicity.
Okay, so aside from the things that you guys are personally doing, what is everyone excited for aside from those things?
I'm excited to see my friends at Ubisoft, and I'm excited to, because obviously the BioWare stuff's like, that's legit. You got to know that I'm excited about that. I want to say one more thing. I'm super excited about the Dragon Age Inquisition panel because I'm not working on that as much.
And I still feel like you're cheating.
It's going to be a surprise to me.
Okay, I'll allow it based on that.
Cheating. It was still fast.
No, not that it wasn't fast. I still thought you were cheating because I said aside from the stuff that you're a part of.
I mean, I'm so ancillary. I mean, the big DAI panel is like, I'm so ancillary on that. So,
all right. Yeah. Ash, what are you excited for?
I'm excited. I mean, it's going to sound cheesy, but I always get excited about seeing everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm really fucking excited to get out of Florida weather.
that's for true.
It sucks here right now. It's like 100 degrees and it rains like swamp gas all over you every single it's fucking
bad.
It's horrible. So like I could be going to a conference for like math and I would still be like elated to leave. So I'm just excited to get out of here and I'm very excited to see everyone.
Matt.
I'm really excited about the Wii U. I hear they're announcing that this year. No. It's not?
Nope. That was last year, buddy.
Oh God!
Maybe a year before that even.
Okay. I've never been to Seattle, which sounds weird. I know this is like a cop out, but I've never been to the Northwest, so I'm kind of excited just for that alone.
Cool. It's really pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's one of them. I think also. I haven't actually played any of the next. I've been at one conference with the where they're actually there or two. I don't remember anymore. I've been places where they've been there and I haven't had a chance to like spend the time to go over and play them. So I'm excited to get on the Xbox One and check out the PS4 and just play some games. We kind of approached it differently as a team this time than we did last PAX. So I'm excited to do that stuff.
Cool. Mylan.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to just walking around the floor and seeing the stuff that I might not have heard about. I find that I always discover new things, and you never know what's going to be right around the corner. And I'm really excited to see you guys and to see all of my friends because it's fun. We all get together, and my husband's coming with me, so we're going to hang out. That'll be fun because
he's a dreamy man.
He is so dreamy.
Legitimate stud.
This is going in a strange direction.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about my husband.
Okay.
Oh.
I still feel like that you're a part of, but I'll let that go as well.
Oh, okay. But I'm good to hang out with him. You know, he's been working while I've been gallivanting around.
All right.
So yeah, But I think it'll be fun. And I'm excited about the party, the shindig, the hoedown, whatever we're doing.
Hoot Nanny.
On Thursday night. Hoot Nanny.
The loop de loo.
Yeah.
Loop de loo.
Well, let's pretend for a second that I actually get to go. And I'll say what I'm excited for. I'm with Matt in that I still have not seen first person, like any next gen stuff. I haven't touched the controller, seen any of the gameplay, like in person. So I would be excited to see that. Of course, I'm always excited to see friends. And, you know, just like you guys, like you always discover something walking around on the floor, like some game you've never heard of or something that's not been on your radar. And I think that's sort of like the highlight of PAX is the things that you don't expect to see.
Mm-hmm. Don't Starve was last year.
Yeah, it was last year was Don't Starve. And
they have a new game here this year.
Oh, cool.
So maybe we'll see that.
Right on.
First of all, thank you guys so much for listening to this chaotic and strange episode of the Rated NA podcast. This is episode 118. You guys can always find us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. Thank you guys for following if you're already following. You can email us all directly at Hillary with one L, Ash, Matt, Scott at nerdappropriate.com. You can find us on Facebook/nerdappropriate and other places. If you do a Google search, we will pop up. We are the number one searched nerd appropriate item on the internet.
And
can you believe that? And Mylan, why don't you plug all of your
careful.
It wasn't gross until you laughed.
I didn't laugh. That wasn't me.
Ash,
that was Hillary.
Seriously?
That was a lecherous laugh.
Plug.
Okay, so
hold on.
Oh my god, you guys. Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter at Mylan B. That's MIELLYNB. Or at the Strange Loves app, at Strange Loves app for Hex Boyfriends. Check out Hex Boyfriends on iOS and Android.
Yeah.
It's out this week.
Sweet.
No, I was going to give Hillary props for well-used lecherous. That was a good use.
Oh, yeah. I used the word impassioned earlier, too. I'm just full of good words today.
You are.
All right.
You're verbose.
Verbose. Yes, I am verbose.
Well, for those of you going to PAX, have fun at PAX. And if not, we'll see you sometime.
Get to hear PAX through your ears.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
All right.
Woohoo.
So let's take a break, and then we'll talk a little more about PAX with you guys. Oh, no. Wait. Ha ha ha. I'll just cut that out, and we'll come back with reviews.
Oh, my God.
Because I can do that.